Bentley, Jordan Belfort. Stacking penny stocks while I'm flipping these birds. Sipping on Ciroc, trip them up with the words. I done popped the molly and I think it's be my third.
What is going on, D-Gen Nation? Kenny Kim here bringing you another Fantasy Golf Degenerates podcast this week for the Honda Classic, as usual. I'm here with the Canadian Pitbull, Tyler Tambolini. Tyler, what is up, my friend?
What is up, Kenny? I'm excited. Going to be talking Honda. I wish we were there, of course. This is the spot we have in our hearts. The first time we ever met was at the Honda, Sung J.M., taking it down.
Rocking the Honda gear right now.
Yeah, I like that. I like that you kept that stuff. I remember the pro shop.
It was like $120. I'm fucking keeping it.
That's part of the reason. Okay. I remember a few places with you on that trip, but we won't talk about that today. But yeah, before we get into it,
we might never talk about that. We might never talk about that one, right?
That's correct. Yeah, before I get into it, I want to remind everyone very quickly, the show and podcast is brought to you and presented by DraftKings.com. Definitely have a special promo for you guys later. It's related to basketball right now with everything going on coming back. See what happens with all the other sports, but that's a great offer. So tune in for that later. And then, of course, our friends over at FantasyNational.com. Head on over to FantasyNational.com/FGD. Get yourself 20% off your first payment, whatever plan you want to sign up for. Kenny, another great week. Joaquin the Dream Neiman gets the job done wire to wire at a tournament that Tiger's never even won, to come off the green at 18, get the handshake from Tiger, the trophy, etc. What are your thoughts on this tournament?
The first 50 holes by Neiman, close to some of the best 50 holes ever played in golf. Yeah. I mean, if you really think about it, on this course, one of the most difficult courses on tour, he was like 20 under or something like that after like 50 holes. He had as many pars as he had birdies and eagles at like 52 holes. It was sick. Now, you know, I don't know. They were worried about the dryness because, you know, there was no rain. And so the rough was lower. And I guess maybe the hailstorm on Tuesday really softened these places up for the first couple of days, I think is what happened. So it played a lot easier. I think like after the first 46, 50 holes or whatever, like 109, the best score ever combined for everyone was like 109 under par. This is a Justin Rae stat. And I think they were like double that. So it was like the highest, the lowest scoring week of all time at the Honda Classic. But it's only been like, well, what, 7-8 guys that finished 15 under or above. So it wasn't like still a cakewalk, but still what he did was really impressive. The putting was unbelievable. I love the trajectory of Neiman's drive. I think that's perfect for the Open Championship. I don't know what his number is for the Open, but like that drive on 18, there was a little bit of pressure on him, right? He was like two down or two up going on to 18. He bogeys young birdies, goes to a playoff. So it wasn't like completely over, right? And he hits this drive that's like 40 feet above the ground, just zooming. The trajectory was so beautiful. That tee game of his, and you saw it roll like 100 yards, you know? If you can get like a baked out, you know, Open Championship or something with a little bit of wind, I think he can win one of those. I think that's the major that I'm going to key on for Neiman when it comes through, because that tee shot is just so pretty. What you think of the event?
Yeah, I loved it. I think you said it perfectly there. And funny enough, I just sent out a tweet before this because DraftKings has the live final coming back, and I sent the old details talking about Northern Trust, and everyone's flipping out because there isn't a Northern Trust, of course, this year. But it reminded me of that. Remember that tournament with DJ? What, he went it by 10 strokes or whatever, and all the course was too easy. He's like, no, one guy played it incredible and the rest did not. If you take away so Neiman 19, can't take away anything, but Morikawa 17, Young 17, and the rest were 14 under. It basically played to that, and then three guys played some incredible golf, Neiman being the one that did the most at the top. But Cameron Young, what a stud, right? It goes with the name. Someone had it today, stole the tagline, the young gun. Cameron Young, yeah, that's perfect. And then Morikawa doing what he does best, man, just grinding it out down the stretch, playing that A game. Missed that birdie on 18, but man, that the cheers and the roars coming in on 17 had Neiman shook up for a minute there. You could see it visibly where he's like, oh shit, I got to go get this thing done now. And so that was awesome just to see someone get back into the mix. He thought maybe it would be Hovland or JT, ends up being Morikawa, but Cameron Young played incredible. Neiman's golf, though, like you mentioned, was just top notch all the way. I know he shot that even par round on Sunday and had a little bit of struggle out of the gate, but that's to be expected. And it's hard to play that good of golf, like you mentioned it, 19 under through 54 holes, to then go and close it out with, like he did, with even par. So I thought the event was good. It could have been better for me. I had a great week, but overall a solid week. Some of the other names up top, I mean, Mav bounced back. Scotty did his thing. Another top, you know, top seven off the win. He's feeling good right now. A bunch of guys that we'll talk about for this week, probably, right? Matt Jones, CT Pan, Mito for sure will be in the conversation. And nice to see Bobby Mack back up in the mix, Rory, Home, a bunch of guys. So good. Again, it was nice to be back, Kenny, to an event that had a strong field, a tough course, regardless of what the final score for the top guy ended up being. It was still great conditions, good tournament all around. So I personally loved it, and I look forward to it every single year.
I think the one thing that I noticed about, you know, I'm going to talk about Colin Morikawa here. I think he's still very underrated by everyone who plays. I think he was like single-digit owned in terms of GP. I could be wrong about that, but like maybe 12% on tops. And the way he plays is just so good. I mean, if you look at his starts, you know, he finished second. He has a fifth in the Tournament of Champions, you know, the World Tour first, seventh at Zozo, second at the CJ Cup. I mean, I don't know. I think I disrespect him. I don't play him as much as I should. And I think that's something that I need to change. I don't know what I have against him. But I feel like I don't play him enough. And I think I'm going to have to change that as it goes on, especially, what was it, like 10-4, 10-8 or something
like that? He was 10,400. And yeah. Your point is correct. We actually talked about this on the season preview. Remember, we said, I think this year in majors, and now, again, this wasn't a major, but the strength of field was major-esque. It was actually a stronger field than last year's Masters. And in, again, invitational, tougher course, all those factors. So I get it. We said, let's play Rahm and Morikawa every single time and just let it roll. But the problem is, I think it was you that hinted at this in that same preview we did when you said, but now they know and the price goes up. So when he's at 10-4 and you have to make that decision amongst those guys, remember how hot Cantlay, JT, Rahm being the best in the world, all these guys you have to factor in. And you said it too. We've talked about this in the past, but just in those events you mentioned. So gains almost 7 strokes with the putter over on Fantasy National at the Genesis. When he loses strokes, it's the Tour Championship for 26th, the BMW for 63rd, the miscut at the Northern Trust, and then the WGC way down near the bottom. So anytime he gains them, second at the Memorial, second at the CJ Cup, fifth at the Century, second at the Genesis, that's it. Not going to name any more, but you get it. That's what it always comes down to. So
but we know the putting is the most variable stat there is.
For sure.
Now, when it comes to that, does that make it so we should play him more? Because he can have those weeks. Everything else about his game is one of the best in the world, mm-hmm. right? Except maybe his short game. Short game, not. But he looked pretty damn good last week, dropping those two on Sunday.
Chipping eagle,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so do you think that, like, when it comes, is he on par with the Rahms? Is he on par with the Justin Thomases? Do you play him like that, where you always play that guy? Is he there yet? Should he be there yet?
Two things. I agree. First, I think we do have to think like that for one reason only, because we already can see the ownership roughly going in. We have good ownership sites out there where we can get a good enough sense to say, okay, he is on their level, so we can play it that way. I guess what the public thinks, and that's where the low ownership comes from, is that, not comparing their skill set at all, it's not even close, but just to give an example, Luke List, Keegan Bradley types, we're used to them saying, look, if he's on, I could get a win like I did a couple weeks ago with Luke List. If he's off, we know it's a miscut and we move on. But the difference is there's 7,600 or 8,100 and you don't feel like you're absorbing as much in your lineup. When he's 10-4 and you're deciding around the top guys, that's where the decision gets made by people out in the public, us included. But the second thing I will say to you, and before you go here, just a matter of what we brought up in the past, is with Morikawa's trajectory in coming in, I remember when he won the Open, the stat came out and it was mind-boggling to most, myself included, was him versus Tiger in the same amount of time or same age or whatever they used as the factor that made sense, is in this day and age with this much talent in the beast that Tiger created. Speaking of that, guys like Neiman, look at the board, Neiman, Morikawa, Young, Hovland, JT, McNeely, Scotty, all those guys, man. Like, Adam Scott's the old man up there and the rest are all super young. And that's kind of what, you know, people are talking about now. You look at Morikawa though, it was the same numbers as Tiger in the X amount of starts, a little bit different age, but that's the point. In this day and age, in this talent level, he's doing that. His iron game is beyond, right? We've talked about that too. It's much better. It's like higher than Justin Thomas in second, than Justin Thomas into 30th place or something like that, the gap. So that's what I would say about that.
Let's speak about Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas or Morikawa, same price, within $100 at a major. Who do you play? Because JT's biggest problem is, of course, the putter, just like Kawa. Like, where do you think the masses would go on that? Say JT's 10-6, Morikawa's 10-4 at Augusta.
We just saw They go JT, right? There's more narratives.
I think that has to switch. I think we got to give Kawa a little bit more due when it comes to EFS and play him a little bit more, at least for me. Personally, for me.
Let me just stay on that for 1 second, because I want to ask you this back. Flip it a different way. I think it's a good conversation. We have the players and all the majors coming up. It reminded me today, we just saw a great tournament. But think about all the best golf we've got ahead of us here. Honda, API players, rolling out all four majors still. There's a huge season ahead. And we appreciate you guys being here. So this is awesome. But this comparison, Kenny, forget that one. JT Morikawa is hard. Easy to get the answer, but hard to pick from. What about Morikawa versus Rahm? Because to be honest, if you look back, first of all, Rahm has not been winning at the clip we expected, has not been winning anything, tournaments or majors, at the clip of Morikawa. He's getting the ownership every single time, even if we don't think it's enough. I still personally love him. I'm just saying the question of who we should be playing based on that. And one guy has much better irons. And if the putter shows up, final point, if the putter shows up, he wins or comes in second. The other guy, Ryan Baroff, was on Andy Lack's podcast last week talking about how Rahm has gained 4 strokes or more putting 14 times, all in strong fields. He won 0 of those tournaments. So if the putter really shows up for Rahm, he has not even won those 14 events. Shout out to our guy, Ryan Baroff, always here to help us out when we're not in the mix. But I thought that stat was crazy, and that goes back to your point on Morikawa.
The big difference is, outside of last week, when Rahm struggles in a little part of his game, he still finished top 10, top 15. You know he's going to be up there. So when it comes to like outrights and stuff, it probably isn't the best way to go about him. But like, he's always going to be top 10. Always going to be top 15.
But ownership is going to be 3 or 4 to 1.
That's true.
Against him. And when Morikawa's putter shows up, all the rest of the game usually does show up. You know it's boom or bust, but when his putter shows up, first, fourth, second, fifth, second, it's top 5. It's not even top 10.
No, I hear what you're saying.
Good to take away.
Congrats to Neiman. We're getting off the subject here. Neiman played unbelievable. He deserved the W. Personally, for me, went 4 for 4. Cash game cornerstones. Pretty good. Didn't cash in cash. So that's how my week went. Hopefully the cash game cornerstones helped you guys out a little bit. It did not help me. It was my worst week by far. Neiman was one of the – I don't know why I left Neiman off. Looking back, I just feel stupid about that. Now, when it comes down to it, what was he, 70-1, and I went 90-1 instead. That was a huge mistake. I should have went Neiman. I think of the year, I think there's been 9 events. I think it's only the 3rd event where I didn't roster the winner. So I bet betting in DFS, I put in $600, got back 60. Bad week. Okay. Bad week. But cash and cornerstones went 4 for 4. Hopefully you guys won some money. Hopefully we can get back on track this week. Anything else before we move on?
Yeah, just in my week real quick. 8 spots from the Millie. And we just went through all that, so that's why I want to bring it up. But the difference is Rahm and McNeely in my lineup would be Morikawa and Neiman, 1-2. And I would have won the tournament by millions of points, and millions of dollars would be in my bank account. So unfortunate in that sense, but it was a good week. I got, one of the entries was off a ticket a couple weeks back at Pebble, managed to put it in, got in 9th place for 20K. So solid there. Overall in the week, it was like 12K in profit. Definitely a solid week all around. So I'm happy with that one, and move on to the Honda. I'm excited. We did have a solid listener league winner though, and a big fan of the show. And then Gup had himself a pretty big week as well, right there in the number 2 spot. But yeah, I know he did a lot of damage with his money this week. He made more profit than me, I think, based on seeing the result with those numbers I just said on, and a bunch of tickets he got for the 22-22. So good on him.
Yeah. All right. Dan Kimball is the winner of our listener league this week. He is actually a Gup's Corner member as well. So shout out to Dan Kimball. I think his Twitter is Danger from Ranger or something like that. If you want to give him a follow, at Dan Kimball, something. At Dan Kimball 42. So nice little lineup by him. A nice little 1-2 showing from Gup's Corner. I always love seeing that. Let's go over Dan's lineup here. I think it's him and his wife or his mistress or his daughter. I don't know. I can't really tell. You can never tell when it comes down to that. He had Xander, one of my cash game cornerstones, 21% owned, almost 80 points, finished in 13th. He had Rory, who was one of my favorite plays of the week, finished in 10th, 30% of the owned, 30% owned, 78.5. Adam Scott, who I played as well, 111.5 points, 20% owned. Neiman, who I didn't play, and that cost me. He was 60% owned, not bad, by DGen Nation, 133 points. Kokrak finished 26, 81 points, 8% owned. And he had Cameron Young, really, really nice pick by him, 6% owned, 114 points, finished in second. What'd you think?
Yeah, very solid build. You know, using the approach that he did with the two 9K guys, the 8K, two sevens, and a six. Really good setup, right? Stayed away from the top of the board, avoided all the five-figure guys that we just sort of sorted through right here on the show, talking through some of those names, and got a pretty balanced ownership. Like the top four guys in Xander, Rory, Scott, and Neiman all had 15% plus ownership. But then when you throw in Kokrak and, of course, Cameron Young, even Cameron Young, 6%. I kind of like that. The DGen Nation was all over him, had himself a really good week, 66, 62, 69, and then ended with a 70. But still, man, a solid week all around for him. So put together a nice lineup, 597.5 points. He did reach out to me as well, said he couldn't wait to hear it. I just imagine right now, Kenny, he's sitting there with his wife, showing her the show with us talking about him on it. And it is a picture of his mistress that you mentioned in his profile picture there.
That would be awful.
You screwed him over, Kenny. Sorry, Dan.
My bad, Dan.
Hopefully we'll see you in the three man this week. But by the way,
is your wife. Yes,
I waxed you in that three man this week. So it's over.
You did.
The streak is broken.
The streak is broken. I am going to start another streak. I can guarantee that on here because I'm
not if you not if you give away the fifth man cash game pick this week because he's dust. But we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that. Hey, it's as of now, I could change it. And you know, my mind might not be right. I just started blood pressure medication today. I'm on the verge of quitting smoking. If you see no cigarettes by me right now, I'm not going to go cold turkey. I'm trying to go from like 10 a day to 5 a day to like 3 a day. Then I'll try to patch is where I'm going. Because doctor was like, you're about to die. And I was like, you're probably right. So I got to change some shit. I actually got an ultrasound for my liver coming up on Wednesday. That should be fun. Now, the thing is, there's a little, I forget what it's called. It's like when you took the blood test, there's something that tests your liver, okay? And like the average score is like between 9 and 59. That's the normal range. I'm only 68. That's not bad for the amount of drink. I was sort of surprised when I hear that because from what I've heard, if you have really bad liver problems, it could be 10 times the normal. Maybe I'm not, maybe the drinking, I'll probably keep drinking. Maybe just once a day instead of twice, or once a week instead of twice a week. We'll see how it goes, and we'll really see how far I can take this because, you know, I don't really want to die, you know, but I don't want to, like, not have fun. So you got to find sort of that middle when it comes down to it. We'll see if I can do it. I really want a cigarette right now, like, horribly bad. Like, I want to smoke. I think I'm going to have to get one. But anyways, let's move on to this week. This week, of course, is the Honda Classic from PGA National in Palm Beach. Shout out Cheetah, one of my favorite strip clubs down there. It was always a good place, always good fun down there. If you're in West Palm Beach, go check out Cheetah. Tell them Kenny sent you, and they will have no idea who I am. But still, you'll have a great time. So PGA National Champions Course hosted the Honda Classic. Bear Trap, 15, 16, 17. We've seen what happened here in the past. I think Adam Scott had like a quad bogey here when he was up by like 3 on a Saturday. Sergio took the lead. Adam Scott ended up coming back and winning. But you see massive swings on 15, 16, and 17 throughout, especially on Sundays. It could happen on Sunday. So, you know, it should be a fun last few holes, especially if there's a lot of carnage. You know, the thing is, that's like a very, very hard three-course stretch, the three-hole stretch. Well, the hardest, like the second hardest three-hole stretch on tour is 5 through 7. So lots of difficult holes on this course. Weather always a factor. From what I'm reading right now, you're looking at 20 to 30 mile per hour gusts on Thursday and Friday, and the wind sort of tapers down a little bit Saturday and Sunday. So you know what that means. It's going to be a lot of carnage before the cut. This is basically where chalk comes to die. Now, you can't, you know, relegate it. You can't quantify which chalky guy is going to miss it. But This is a week to be wary of Chalk. If you have any type of, if you think one guy and you're not sure about a guy and you look at his ownership, he's going to be one of the chalkiest guys. It's pretty easy to fade, I think, at that point in time. If you love a guy and he's going to be chalk, I mean, you love him. You got to play him, right? But if you have any doubts, this is the week to like be like, okay, I'm not going to play him. Because this is where chalk usually comes to die, like I said. From what I've read, not much rain over the last 6 weeks. I think Joe Iodine lives in the area. And he was saying, hasn't been that much rain in the area so far. Now, it's supposed to rain tomorrow on Tuesday. So we'll see how that affects the course. But if it's like really fast and firm and windy, I mean, this is one of the toughest courses on tour. All right, the Champions Course at PGA National, 7,150-yard par 70, two par fives, four par threes. The four par threes are some of the most difficult holes on the course, and the two par fives are the two easiest holes on the course. Now, even though the course isn't significantly long, there are still five par fours over 450 yards. I think all the par threes are over 175 yards. The course plays even longer when you take into account the average driving distance, the average green and regulation percentage, and the average driving accuracy here, all below tour average. Okay. So again, like you see, tough course to play. Off the tee, golfers will see average size fairways, lots of trouble if they miss water, lots of water, fairway bunkers. Let's see how thick the rough is going to be. If it's going to be as dry as they said it has been, maybe see the rough cut down just a little bit more, but we'll have to see as the week goes on about that. Like I said, water everywhere since 2007, like over 1,000 balls have met their doom in the water during tournament play. All the course defenses this week, you're going to see a lot of golfers go less than driver off the tee. Now on approaches, golfers will see Bermuda grass greens above average in size when it comes to actual square feet. But in reality, a lot of the greens are long from front to back, but extremely narrow in width, which makes hitting the greens very tough. Less than 60% of the greens are hit of approach shots are land on the greens at this event. You're going to see a ton of approaches from 175 to 200. Also, sand play, very important. A lot of holes will have like water on one side, bunker on the other side. Naturally, human instinct, you're going to probably aim for the bunker, you know, and not hit it into the water. The greens elevated, contoured, surrounded by bunkers, water hazards, false fronts on almost every hole. Greens probably going to be firm. Stimp meter rating around 11.5. A couple of trends. This is from the Fantasy Grind, at the Fantasy Grind on Twitter. Jeff Ulrich, always a good person to look on to follow on Twitter. Some trends. 8 of the past 11 winners have finished 13th or better at PGA National in a previous year. 10 of the last 11 winners had made the cut at PGA National at least once. 4 of the last 5 winners have produced a top 10 finish or better on the West Coast already that season. 5 of the last 5 Honda winners have produced a tie of 16th or better on the West Coast in the year of their win. So some stuff from Mr. Ulrich right there. Tambo, what are you looking for this week?
Did you break it down to find out who fits that?
I know.
Yeah, that. You know what? I love Jeff.
I let you all do that. You all can do
I know.
That.
I want to see. I wish somebody else would take it and just pull it up and say, so what that means is this. Here's your dudes. But a lot
I think,
of good guys.
I think you know who does that. PGA Tout. I think that's his name on Twitter. He's another good follow on there. Let me
and,
get his.
Yeah, he's really good follow. John.
Yeah.
And then John, PGA Splits 101 is another
guy that does that. Old Rotor Grinders guy,
Weeds them out. So.
Yep, at PGA Tout, John Hasselbauer. His article, really, really good. It comes out, I think it comes out on Sundays right after the event. It goes over all the little trends and then like does with the old what Josh Culp did when he wasn't behind a paywall. I remember Josh Culp, Future of Fantasy, used to write those articles where he'd take everything down and you know, go, this happened to the winner. And he'd label all the golfers that, you know, that in the field that applies to, and then does another one and shortens. John does something like that. And I think Josh does too, but you got to pay.
Shadow Josh called, please hook Kenny up with a free membership. He sounded really distressed there when he said, but behind a paywall, though. Like,
hey, you know, I'm behind a paywall, too, so I can't hate.
Yeah, so we got mad right now.
We got to make that money. We got to make that money. Sorry, buddy.
Win some motherfucking money. That's right. So, yeah, I mean, you mentioned a few of the things. We know what this course is. That's the good news. One thing, I'll just try and add a couple things. You said a lot of good things there, but, like, obviously the around the green, the scrambling is a big one. The approach shot in before that always, but just in general, for me, it comes down to a few things. One, not a place to get right. Not at all. It's an extremely tough course. You mentioned, I'll bring it up later around some of the, you know, just an inverse on the, all the talk about the bear trap and Palmer and Knox, and, you know, Knox is the best and Palmer's the worst. And I'll talk about that later when we get down to that range, but just, you know, like you said, the 5 to 7 holes are tough. The entire course is tough. And that's why we see these high scores. And then also with that said, just in general, like, you know, it's not, in mentioning that it's not a place to get right, especially with the studs up top. I've noticed this over the last few years. You don't really want anybody coming in who's trying to figure it out or who struggled in the last couple events. Go with whoever's playing the best golf. And I think that's an interesting conversation when we do get into it. I'll bring it up in a second with Neiman. But before we get into the top tiers, Kenny, want to remind everyone of a very, very special offer from DraftKings.com. Hoops fans, the latest offer from DraftKings Sportsbook is too good to pass up. I'm talking between the legs 360 windmill good. New customers can bet just $1 on any team and get $150 in free bets if they win. It's that simple. DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also bet on the NBA with same game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code FGD. Bet just $1 on any pro basketball team and get $150 in free bets if they win. That's promo code FGD at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Minimum age and location requirements vary by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full list of requirements and state-specific responsible gaming resources. Void where prohibited. Minimum $5 deposit. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the TN Red Line. That's 1-800-889-9789. In Connecticut, call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. In New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY or 467-369.
All right, so let's get to these tiers. We have Koepka all the way to Sungjae. What are you doing here? I have no idea.
It is tough. I do have a few thoughts on it. I mentioned one before. I just, you know, get your thought on this first, Kenny, before we roll through it completely, because I mentioned it before we had our sponsors ad. And I just wanted to talk about Neiman for a second, because we just saw it. I just mentioned at the top of the show, Scheffler wins last week, comes into Genesis, is not a place to get right either, really. And you think about that, he comes in, doesn't win it or anything, T7, but that carried over. And it wasn't that heavily owned, right? Being off the win from the week before. And we oftentimes see the winner from the week before that goes to a high price. So whether it's a, you know, a JT or a DJ back in the day, Rom, those guys, you don't see people go there as often. So what do you think people will do with Neiman at 10-6? That's my first question.
I mean, I think him and Koepka might be the two lowest owned. I mean, I don't know. I think people are going to go to Usti and M. I think they're going to play those top two guys. And, you know, it makes sense. M has been playing pretty decent. He's been doing okay. You know, if you look at his, the way he's been playing here recently, I mean, it doesn't feel like he's been doing well, but 33rd, 6th, 11th, miscut, 8th. And then you go back to the fall, 19th, 9th, 1st, 21st. You know, I mean, he's been playing okay, you know, pretty not good. Bad. And, you know, he's been a little bit, his iron game's been okay. He's been really good off the tee. Well, I guess more accuracy, maybe he's gained a little bit of distance. I'm not 100% sure. I'll have to look into that a little bit more. And his putter's been strong the last couple of weeks. Usti is, you know, the number one guy in my model. He'll probably be the number one guy in most people's models this week. So I think people are going to go to them. And I have no problem with either one of those guys. I think Neiman, I don't know. What about Berger too? I mean, these three guys, there's so many. I think Neiman might actually, what happened to Scheffler last week? Neiman might be more owned than you think, even coming off a win. I think it's possible that that happens because of the way he played last week. And again, not his first win. He's been there, done that before. So he could be a little bit more highly owned than we'd expect from someone who just won an event.
Yeah, I could see it for sure. I think for me, this is my thoughts up top right now. I'm not going to stray away from him. No matter how owned he is here, it's what, 20, 22%. Like, I don't care. I'll have enough. I'll make sure I get him in my lineups. When I do all my stuff, whether it's last 6 months, last 50 rounds, you know, course history, recent form, everything that you talked about, he's got it all. So I'm not going to stray away from that. And the other thing was, I like that he took the break at Waste Management, came back last week, dusted the rust off a little bit, still had a decent finish, 33rd place, and then comes out to a tournament that he's very familiar with and has won and come eighth last year. So made all three cuts here in his time on tour. I think just going back to him makes too much sense. I do have more of a struggle with Louis, and I'm a Louis guy, and the strength of field is down. It's better than some of the fall events and previous events, but it's nothing like last week. And so you think of it from that perspective, he's 10-8. Like, he doesn't have to go out and win if the rest of the top range does horrible. He can just show up and do his Louis thing. But I think that's where people are betting him and all this. He's literally never won stateside. So I don't know why this would be the spot he snaps out of it. And then if he gets you a top five, what if M wins? Or what if Neiman's up there? And a bunch of what ifs, but I feel better playing M and Neiman. I do agree with you. That's why I asked you first, but I wanted to get your thoughts. I think Neiman will get some ownership because people are over that now. They'll say, forget it. Look how good his game was. Look at the stats last week. Came 25th here last year. Even before the win, he'd had decent results, recent form-wise. So that's fine. They can go back there. I'll go to him too. The bigger question, though, is Berger. I'm not as high on Koepka, but Berger, man, he said he was 100%, and that's why I talk so much shit about that stuff, because I said, well, now what? Now he told you he's good. What do? People go and play him. He's supposed to be 100%. He burns them because you don't know. And maybe it wasn't even his back. The whole point is maybe he just didn't play good. So you play him or you don't. The reports mean nothing. But in this case, if nobody's going to play him, I think you got to give him a chance at 10-4. I think I'll give him some ownership here, but M and Neiman would be my two favorites as of right now.
I'm going to play M. Koepka is intriguing because I think it's possible that he could be the lowest owned of the top 10 price guys in this field. He's coming off a missed cut. He's, you know, outside the top 25 in the world. He hasn't been really playing great, but this is Brooks. Is he going to be motivated to play? Who knows? You never know about that stuff. I would expect that he'd be motivated every week because of how poorly he's been playing. And he said he was embarrassed that he was, you know, outside the top 25 in the world. It's intriguing. The one guy I'm definitely playing is Sungjae. He could possibly be the only guy in the 10K range that I am playing because I like the 9K range a lot. And I'll go with two of my first cash game cornerstones. Now, this event used to be the start of the European contingent that came over and started playing on the PGA Tour. This is where a lot of the Euros would come in and start playing. They've had success with the wind and the way that, you know, the shortness of the course. I mean, maybe the water's a little bit much, but it has aspects of some courses that you would see on the European Tour, especially when it comes to weather and wind. I like the Euros a lot in this, and I'm going to start. Man, I don't know when the last time I ever had Tommy Fleetwood as a cash game cornerstone, but I think I'm going to start right now. The guy's been playing decent golf across the pond. I know he was in contention a couple of weeks ago in the Middle East, if I am not mistaken. I think I'm going to go with Fleetwood here. A lot of his stats, he hasn't really played over here that long. So you can't really judge base everything on his stats, but you look, you know, 8th, 12th, 48th in his last three events, a couple of them being on this side of the pond. And then he has a third and a fourth here in the past in his two previous attempts. I mean, we were there when we saw him with Sungjae. He was in the group behind him, and he just fell apart on Sunday when Sungjae ended up winning this event. But I'm going to go with Fleetwood here, and I'm going to go with Shane Lowry as well, who's coming off, you know, three or four straight top 25s. And he has good hit, never missed a cut here. And again, you know, when it comes to that wind, the lower ball flight, I think Lowry could do well here. I also like Horschel and Norin a lot for GPPs. So that's why, you know, I could stray away from the 10K range. Horschel has just been playing well, and it's not that strong of a field. I mean, and I think he can perform and do well in this type of an event. A couple of things, really good at bogey avoidance, good out of the sand, been hitting a lot of fairways, really good from 450 to 500 yards. I think he's top 10 in the field in par four efficiency from 450 to 500 in the last, I'd say, 50 rounds. I like Noren. He comes in seventh in my model this week. Really good from 175 to 200. You know, a lot of sand saves, good from the sand, good bogey avoidance, good on longer par fours. We've seen him compete here and contend. I think the year Jamie Holmes took it from him a few years back. One guy I'm worried about that some people might be on would probably be Matthew Wolff. Every time I see Matthew Wolff on a course where the driver is taken out of your hand, I tend to worry about that just because, you know, it is his strength. It is his numero uno skill that he has out there, how hard, how far he hits it. And that gives him that advantage. I think he loses that advantage just a little bit when it comes to this course. Keith Mitchell is going to be a favorite, really expensive. Are people going to play him? I don't know. I know Bamford, Steve Bamford has him as a bet for this weekend, likes him a lot. So that leads me towards playing him this week, but he also has Matthew Wolff as a bet too. So we'll see how that goes. What do you think for this week for in the 9K range?
Yeah, dialing back a couple more thoughts. One is, like I said at the top when we were going through what I like for this course, like don't play guys that need to get right. Back aside, whether it's his back or not, just going back to the top for a second with Berger, probably not a good spot to get right. So that leaves Sungjae and Niemann. And I could go off Niemann coming off the win at 10-6 if he does get popular. So people are going to go back to that. I could be aligned with you there and say just him. And the reason I bring it up is because, like you, I think this range is pretty interesting. So guys coming in like Fleetwood and Lowry, their form is from overseas or previous, like nothing that you would have seen lately, but these guys are playing well. Noren is playing well and has the perfect game for this course, sort of the grind it out around the green, do his thing, make par and move on, and then make a charge on Sunday and take it away. And then you can't spell Honda without Ho. So we got to go back. Remember the Ho train, Kenny? We got Horschel, Horschel, Hostler, Howell, and now we got the new bunch with Højgaard and with Lee Hodges. So a couple other Hos in the field. You can build the Ho train out again. But Billy Ho has a pretty decent history here, has been playing well, pretty good. I think his numbers line up. So, you know, this is what he likes. Florida golf, Bermuda, that's his thing. So get back out of the, you know, the waste management stuff, where he's telling fans to go F themselves and everything he does there and hop back into an event that he likes. So I think he's good. But the two at the bottom are the most intriguing, and why I can just agree with you at the top and avoid altogether besides Sungjae is because Keith Mitchell, see what happens with ownership. I kind of like his price. The one guy I like that's priced definitely too high, if he was, you know, anywhere in that 8K range, could be a little bit more popular. But Matt Jones, literally last year's champion, looked really good on Saturday and then put it together and had an even better Sunday at the Genesis. He hits on everything, like course history, recent form, last week, just coming in the right way, and then has the game and is the defending champion. So at 9K, I don't think he'll be very popular. We'll talk about the next range in a second, but we got Mito, potentially Mito chalk week. And then we got Mitchell, who, like you said, is right there, regardless of price. He really hits on all the models and the stats and the numbers. So I think Matt Jones will get squeezed out, whether he won last year or not. I don't think people will go back to him here as much. And if you avoided some of this upper range with Lowry, Noren, Horschel, Fleetwood, you could get a pretty unique lineup going with Sungjae, Matt Jones, the two most recent winners, and then just go down from there and stack it up, because there is less guys in the 6K this range this week overall as it is than what we've seen lately. And then also, I think, less that you'll want to play. So Sungjae, Matt Jones to start a lineup would be pretty interesting. What do you think of the rest and anything else there that you like?
Yeah, I mean, your Matt Jones take makes a lot of sense to me. So I think I might move on, maybe play a little bit of Jones when it comes down to it. In the 8K range, I do have my third cash game cornerstone this week. It's going to be Jonathan Vegas. I think he's made 7 of his 8 cuts here, 4 of his last 5 on tour. Top 5 in both strokes gained approach and strokes gained tee to green in this field in the last 50 rounds. That sort of makes sense to me. I'm going to go ahead and use Vegas. I like the bottom half of this range a lot. Gary Woodland, a couple weeks ago, he played pretty well. Again, a guy who I just think is going to break out at some point in time. It's going to happen. The skill level of this guy is just too good. Former U.S. Open champion. I mean, I think it's going to happen. He looks healthy. He's playing every week. We're hearing about withdrawals. Just get a little bit more playing time, a little bit more underneath him. And this type of field, I think he can do well. Bezuidenhout is, again, I roster him every week. And I think there's some times where I make a mistake and roster him on courses where I shouldn't. Now, this course, I think is a course where he should. Now, if you look at Bezuidenhout's finishes in this season, as he's been a full member on tour, let me bring it up here. And you look at the specific type of courses that he's done well on. You look. So he missed the cut of the Genesis, long course, driver heavy course. He's probably one of the worst off the tee in this field. So, you know, Pebble Beach finished 14th, shorter course, less than driver. Farmers Insurance, 46, long course, lots of driver. American Express, you know, sort of in between. You don't, you know, he finished 40th there. But then Sony, not too much driver. You know, less than driver course, 17th. He played Houston. There's a lot of driver in Houston. Finished 98th. Mayakoba, less than driver course, finished 15th. You know what I'm saying? So I think this is a less than driver course. I think that's what you play Bazinut at. You add in his elite short game out there. I think, you know, really good from the bunkers. I like him a lot this week. And then Matt Hughes. You got to play Matt Hughes at this course. Any difficult type course, you play the Canadian.
Okay, couple interesting thoughts then coming up here, because I agree with you fully on Bazinut, and I also, and you didn't bring him up, but Knox is the guy that gets talked up. I was going to bring this point up first. Everyone talks about the bear trap. The numbers are posted. Since 2007, Russell Knox is the best at 6 under on the bear trap. The worst is in the next range at 7,900, but we'll talk about it because he's right there, is Ryan Palmer. He's plus 60 on the bear trap in that same period of time. But let me tell you this. Last 5 years, Russell Knox, 4 out of 5 missed cuts with a best of 51st. Ryan Palmer, 4 out of 5 made cuts with some actual pretty decent results in there. I think it was a 17th and a 4th. And you said it at the top, Kenny. It's because that's the whole 3 holes everyone talks about. We know how tough they are down the stretch. We know about the pressure they pack when you're coming home trying to win a tournament. But these guys down in this price range don't necessarily have to win it for you at that price tag. And on top of it, the rest of the course is very hard as well. So I love the Bazinut pivot off of Russell Knox. We always don't talk about this stuff 100%, but I just thinking out loud, if Knox gets ownership here or it's somebody else, maybe it's Taylor Moore, who we'll talk about in a second at 7,900. I do like that. I wanted to bring that up. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up, I thought this one stood out to me today. We always say Matt Hughes. We tell the story. We were there last year with Feinberg, Mayo, everyone with Matt Hughes and his mom on 18. But we keep talking about him at these harder courses. He's missed 2 out of his last 5 cuts. They were Farmers and Genesis. The cuts he made and finished well were all birdie fests, like 20 under, 23 under, 19 under at these tournaments. So I don't know what's going on. And obviously he's good enough that he can just bounce back and make that work here. And maybe the good memories from last time or whenever he came second here a few years ago, 2 years ago, that he'll bounce back from that. But I could go to some other guys. I like Vegas with you. Love the course history, the recent form. I like Brian Harman as a grinder in this range. And the last guy I want to ask you about was Aaron Wise. If you look at all the numbers, they come across pretty decent. Last week, he tried to show a little bit, but man, it's quite a leap of faith after how bad he was the couple weeks before his chalk. And then last week, he found his a putter, but he lost the approach game. Before that, he had the approach game with no putter. So which is it? Do you like Aaron Wise at all?
I'm just not a Wise guy. Even though he pops in the model, I think he's 8th in my model. He'll probably be top 10 in everybody's model that comes out this week. I just can never get roster. Maybe at like 6,500, but
I think I would still play Hughes over him. All the stuff I just said, just pointing out facts on Mackenzie Hughes. Maybe, like you say, coming back here, he's got a decent history with the second place 2 years ago. I believe he was like 36th last year. So I could maybe go him. I don't think I can do the Wise experience again. I don't care about last week. It wasn't nothing spectacular. And I really like Vegas there. And while he'll be popular, there is those other guys we mentioned. I love the Bazinut call, though, down at the bottom at 8K.
Go ahead into the 7K range, at least the top side. Who do you like?
Yeah, I want to talk about this. It's a smaller range from 7,500 and up than normal. But Taylor Moore, this guy, I think he's going to pick up steam this week. If you look at the books, really respecting him, I think he's like 70 or 65 to 1, something like that, which is, you know, whatever. And a couple of decent results the last 2 times out. So I think he'll pick up some steam. Ryan Palmer's here. Ryan Palmer, I talked about his last 5 to compare against Knox. But even if you look back further than that, 8 of 9 made cuts here. Usually he plays pretty good in the wind. And when it gets swirling, it just happens to be the bear trap that eats him up. But he somehow does good on all the rest of the holes. So I think he's interesting. CT Pan will get some love. Nikolai Højgaard. Look, people talk about Brooks and Chase this week, those brothers, but one's there because the other is there. This is a different case. These two brothers, top 120 in the world. Nikolai, who's we're talking about here, is actually top 75 in the world. He just picked up a win a couple weeks ago. Field strength wasn't the same, but he also came 4th the week before that when Kawa won, and it was a much tougher field. So he's definitely coming in with some form. And even if he picks up some ownership from the shows talking about him and stats and things like I'm mentioning, I don't think he picks up enough to where you're like, oh, I can't play that guy. So he definitely has the talent and the skills. I like Poulter as well right there. And then I definitely like Chris Kirk, even Michael Thompson to round it out. So there is pivots there if you need to find them. What do you like in this upper 7K range?
Yeah, my final cash game cornerstone, CT Pan. This is where it got really tough for me to find out to go with my cash game cornerstone because there's not much I love down here in the 7 or 6K range. I'm going CT Pan ninth last week. I think he had a third place finish last time he was here. Really good. Tee to green, he's 15th in the field in the last 50 rounds. Been good around the greens. Really good on longer par fours. Fairly accurate off the tee. Decent out of the sand. I'm going to go ahead and play CT Pan. So my four cash game cornerstones this week, they're going to be Tommy Fleetwood at 9,900, Shane Lowry at 9,400, Jonathan Vegas at 85, and CT Pan at 77. Still leaves 14.5 left. I'm contemplating going low in the 6K and maybe even going up to Zinut as my fifth guy. We'll see how he goes. Tambo's been making fun of me because I told him I was going to Bezidenhout and Luke Donald as my final two. Luke's been playing decent. We'll get to him here. Tambo's like, you're an idiot. It could be another Chaka call. I don't know. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with those last two spots yet, but those are my four cash game cornerstones. Up here, I think Højgaard's interesting. I like your Taylor Moore point of view. Cagely is going to be popular. He pops in the model. A little bit worried that he's lost 10 strokes with his approaches in the last two events. That's worrisome. But when it comes to everything else other than approaches, he sort of fits this. And it becomes a grinder where you got to get it up and down. He's just okay around the green too. I'm not even sure I want to play my Korean guy there. Michael Thompson makes sense. Brendan Todd, he's made three of his last four cuts. Hits enough fairways. Good on long par fours. I like Brendan Todd. I'm going to play him, which is weird because I never played Brendan Todd. But this is where we're at. When it comes down to this event, if you go even lower, it gets even worse. I'm going to play Lucas Glover this week, probably. Again, iron game is strong, hits enough fairways, decent from 175 to 200, decent from 450 to 500 yards. So I think I'm going to play him. Sam Ryder is always intriguing to me just because, he scores so well. And at $7,200, and this is the type where, if he goes out early, has decent conditions, he can have a shit ton of birdies, but it'll also come with a shit ton of bogeys. That's just the way Sam Ryder is. The way he plays, especially, I like him on Sundays and shutdown a lot. He usually tends to ball out on Sundays with a ton of birdies. When it comes to like DraftKings, I think he can make a decent play. If he makes the cut and gets all four rounds, I think he'll be up there in birdies because he has so many birdies. I think he's what? Fifth in birdies or better gained in the field in the last 50 rounds. If he can make the cut, if he can play all 4 days, I think, you're going to get a good DFS score out of him. Anyone else? Who do you like in this bottom 7K range?
I was just looking at a few other guys. So a couple that stood out to me. So Lucas Glover, like you mentioned, like him. Aaron Rye has been playing some pretty good golf. He's coming in decent. Garrick Higgo last time out was pretty solid. So, he's coming into form, I think. I think that's who we want in this spot. And then the one I was debating, that's why I asked you about him earlier, but Charles Howell fits the whole train narrative, but missed the cut at the Phoenix Open. Before that, he rattled off five pretty decent results and he pops here a little bit for me in the stats. So interesting talent level, but tough to say when there is other guys. I like Swofford down below, pretty spotty course history and recent form, but he did have a win recently. So you can't really say he's not in form. It's just, it's a really loaded range. So it's tough to say where else to go. And then I like your Ryder call and even Nick Taylor down there at the bottom as well. Maybe some Alex Smalley, Adam Svensson, Danny Willett at the 7K range, even not too much else for me there. And I don't love a bunch in the 6K range, but you can talk about any others in the 7K. And if not, we can hop down there.
Yeah. 6K range. The guy that really pops for me is Mark Hubbard. Really good at avoiding bogeys, good from 175 to 200, especially on par threes. You're going to have all the par threes above 175 yards, really good from the bunker, really good around the green, pretty good with his approaches. I think for $6,900, not a bad play, I think, when it comes down to it. And just trying to make lineups while we're doing this. I mean, if I go Hubbard, I might be able to afford Howell as well. And that might actually be a decent way to go. I don't know. We'll have to see again as a week, that those last two spots are going to change a bunch of it. But yeah, Hubbard, probably my favorite play down here. I'm going to talk about Ryan Armour, another guy. I think Tambo talked to me about him earlier. Not technically a coastal course, but it's only like 5 miles from the ocean. So basically it's a coastal course, not too long. This is his thing. Enough fairways, enough bogey avoidance, good from longer par fours. I'll play Ryan Armour. And honestly, I think Luke Donald's been playing decent golf, making two of his last four cuts, gaining strokes with his approaches in four straight. Former winner here. I think I can get by with him. Top 10 in strokes gained approach in the last 15 rounds in this field. Good from 175 to 200. Really good from the bunker. And I mean, that's how we're going. I'm thinking about playing freaking Luke Donald in this event. So that'll tell you something right there.
Right off the rails with that one. But you know what? Like, I look at it too in Fantasy National. I looked at it before I came on and still said that to you pre-show. But like, it's decent, but it's just, what are you expecting, right? Anything could happen. But I think even, what about your guy, Harry Higgs? He's 6,700. He's hauling everything out. He's playing some pretty good golf lately, man. That's a guy right there.
Cuts Ryan on a Armour. Number with Eagle and shit like that. Yeah, I like that.
JT Poston. Yeah. And then, I don't love much under. I'm with you on the Hubbard call, 46th and 11th here the last 2 years. Some won't follow this. We didn't talk about this off the top. Remember the week when Werner won overseas? We wanted to talk about that. We didn't talk about Benny. Benny on getting the W over on the Corn Ferry Tour, man, doing his thing.
That was big.
Very happy to see that. The guy's incredible. Just awesome to see him and his wife embrace after the fact. And he's such a happy guy, but it was like, he wasn't like going crazy or any super celebration. It's almost what you love to see in a guy like that, where he knows he's supposed to be there getting this done. It just didn't work yet on the PGA Tour. He's had his chances.
I thought it was sort of baller when he did an interview with his wife in the car and then zoomed out and you see he's rocking the Lambo. I thought that was pretty swagalicious right there. I like that.
I like Benny. Yeah. Interestingly enough, though, Mark Hubbard, sixth at that tournament. So he was back there doing his thing, and he's still coming in otherwise. Pretty good form, pretty good numbers. Putts better on Bermuda. Has the upside if he makes the cut. It's, 6,900. It's not like you're going too far off the beaten path from 7K range if you're just dropping down $100. So I like him. Neesmith, 36th and 38th here the last 2 years, only time he's played it. 55th at the Genesis, but solid stats all week and really solid stats closing it out. And then the sort of three off the board plays for me. I mentioned Poston maybe, so two off the board plays, but Kramer Hickok and Austin Smotherman. Played Austin Smotherman last time out, came through for me. So I'll go back to a couple guys there. Not too much else in this range that I like, Kenny. You want any Chase Koepka? He's down there, 30th last year when he played here. So all the shit being talked about him playing because of his brother, he got 30th here last year, beat a lot of guys that were decent years before him.
Well, so didn't Brooks miss the cut? So he beat his brother? I'm not sure. I don't remember.
I think Brooks that was a different year. Tournament because I don't think Brooks played here last year, but it was at a different tournament where he ended up being the better Koepka. Yes, that is correct.
No. All right, so let's get the bets for this week. I mean, basically, I hate every single one of my bets.
Yeah.
So, this is going to be fun. right now, I have Alex Noren, 35-1. Bezidan Hoop, 50-1. Woodland, 65-1. Pan, 70-1. A Ryder, 140-1. So I might throw a couple more bombs out there. We'll see how it goes on my final betting card, but that's what I got.
I like your rider number. I looked at him. I didn't bet him, but I saw it was 125 today. So that's nice that you got 140. Some of my numbers are gone, but you know me, I don't put as much into this as I do into daily fantasy. So I like going with the community a little bit more. I like to hit when everybody else does. So Billy Horschel, 28-1. Mito, 55. I think others got him at 60, but a lot of people are on. I'm going to take that route and maybe not even play him in DFS. Like I said, I think there's some good pivots right there in that range. CT Pan, 80. Poulter, 90. Aaron Rye, 110. And then my guy, Austin Smotherman, 200. Taking a long shot. Maybe he's this year's Haggy, who I believe came second last year. You get that out of Smotherman. Young has been doing his thing lately. Cameron Young, maybe Smotherman does his job here. And at 200-1 with the top five each way, I'll definitely take a shot. All my guys over 50, including Mito, are with the top five each way.
Yeah, I like Rye, 101. I'm down. I'm with you. I just added that myself. All right. So all right. One and done. I'm going Sungjae or Fleetwood.
Two of the guys I had here. I said you could add Louis if you don't want to play him at the 10-8 price tag on DraftKings, maybe, or bet him at the number, maybe get a little sweat out of him that way. And then Horschel, of course. I got a feeling it's going to be a good Horschel week. we'll see what happens. Like I said, you can't spell Honda without Ho. So I like Billy Ho this week, and we're always keen to hop aboard the Ho train. You talked about Cheetah earlier on. No sponsor this week from them, but maybe in the future, right?
I don't need to be a sponsor. Just let me in, and you know, let me sit at the VIP every time I walked in, which they let me do when I went that one year, which is always great. One thing before we head off, make sure to bet for the Custy Awards. I did a show with a couple of guys and Pat going over all of the Custy Awards. It is pretty funny. You can see me. I listened to it on the podcast, and you can audibly hear me going from sober to hammered throughout the whole podcast. So it's a fun listen. Go check that out. You can find me on Twitter at KendoVT. Find my article on GupsCorner.com. Should be out here shortly. Use promo code Kenny. Save yourself, I think, 20 or 30% on a membership. I forget which one it was. I think maybe it's 30% on a sub. 7-day risk-free trial. If you don't like it, you can just cancel and move on, but you don't like it. Lots of cool stuff, lots of great tools. Check out gupscorner.com.
Yeah, huge week for Gups Corner. Shout out again to Gup. You mentioned had a big week. We had a pretty big week over at Run Pure Sports as well. So I got to put my stuff out there. Hoop took down the 888 for 100K himself. I got the 20K ninth in the Mega Millie 44-44. And then Big T took third in the round four showdown. So amongst many others, it was a good week for everyone providing the information. So if you haven't checked out Run Pure Sports, go ahead.
You know what comes to Big T? I can't, whenever I picture him, I just see Kenny Powers. Like, yeah. I don't even want to know what he really looks like, because I feel like it'll be disappointing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's out like, there, he does a good job with the hashtag on brand, much like you do. I'm not sure if you saw it today. There was some DFS open pictures floating around, and I said, I need the video of Kenny going crazy for Sungjae. And I said, I don't have the video, I tweeted out, but I do have the picture. And sure enough, in the bottom right corner of you going crazy is the Crown Royal bottle, as to be expected. So love to see that. But like I was saying, runpeersports.com, check us out. We got a promo code DGEN50, DEGEN50. Get yourself 50% off your first month. Check out everything we got going on over there. I do the Wednesday premium show, and we do a round four showdown show as well, which is pretty exciting going forward. So that's good. Find me on Twitter at Toetag and Tambo, of course. Other than that, that's all I got this week. Kenny, good luck to everybody.
All right, not the best field, but you know, these are the type of events where, you know, you find those diamonds in the rough and try to win that motherfucking money. DGEN Nation, that was pretty weak, but that's how I'm going to end it this week. I had to quit smoking, so that's just what you're going to deal with.